Psalm 23. Let's just do a little review as we come down to, and we'll be looking at the last part of verse 4 and verse 5 this evening. But as we look, in reminder, we're talking about the Supreme Shepherd, the saints, the Supreme Shepherd. And as I remind you, as far as myself reading it, I broke it up into three major parts. Verses 1 through 4, I have God's unique benevolence. And unique means what? One of a kind. You can't be partially unique. Nothing like it. And so his unique benevolence, and under in those four verses, in which we'll finish tonight and go into that, we saw his position as the shepherd and his position over the sheep, his plan in verses 2 and 3, which was to make me lie down in green pastures, to lead me beside the still waters, to restore my soul, and lead me in the paths of righteousness. And remember when it has that restored my soul, we talked about the cast sheep, remember, and how that gets on their back, and then it says, lead me in the paths of righteousness. What the Lord is doing is he's taking us to and putting us back up on our feet and lead us in the right path. And that even context goes with, as you look at not only his position, his plan, but last week we mentioned his presence, the first part of 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. And we spent the evening talking about not having to fear. And I was asked this week, and I'm not sure where I mentioned this, whether it was in, if I mentioned this last Sunday night, it was this week though, so I don't think it was. But I was asked by one of the men downstairs, the construction men, aren't you afraid of this virus? Did I mention this last Sunday? Wednesday I mentioned. Okay, good. You weren't here Wednesday. So, but he asked me, what aren't you afraid of the virus? And I turned to him and says, no, I'm in God's hands. And God is in control. And we talked about some different things. And then I just felt it was a little unsaid. So as we were talking of different things, I then went back to him. And I said, Rick, and John was right there. And I said, Rick, let me tell you why I'm not afraid of this virus. God's in control of all things. And when I trust in the Lord, and not lean unto my own understanding, but in all my ways acknowledge him, he's going to direct my paths. He just didn't say anything. I think I could tell he wanted to say something, but he didn't say anything. You know, during a time as this, we can trust in the Lord with all our heart because he's with us. We don't have to fear. And so we realize that there we see his unique benevolence in his position and his plan and his presence, and then in his protection, which we'll be looking at this evening. And then we'll also look at verse 5 this evening, which is, I have it, verses 1 through 4, God's unique benevolence. And verse 5, I have God's unexpected banquet. And then verse 6, I have God's ultimate blessing. So let's just look at the end of that unique benevolence of his protection, the last part of verse 4, and then we'll just talk a little bit about God's unexpected banquet, his provisions and his prosperity. And then I'm going to ask you a question that will cause you to think, and I would like a response from it that will just end tonight with really blessings of God. But look with me, verse number 4. As it says, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. And then we see the last part, thy rod and thy staff shall comfort me. Doesn't your nature want to be comforted? We all want someone. Sometimes comfort for someone is completely different than comfort for somebody else. Did you know that comfort sometimes for someone might just be someone saying hi to them? Just a comfort because, oh, I didn't even know you knew me, noticed me. That's a comfort then. That's an encouragement for them. Well, as we think of this, remember who's the writer here? David. Some thought it was when he was young. Some thought it when he was older, towards the end of his life. I probably lean a little more to the end of his life here as he looked back on his life. So we've got to try to think of it practically, what he was thinking. He says, I'm going to fear no evil. But he goes, as a shepherd, he knows all about being a shepherd. And he says, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Now, the rod and the staff really are, they even overlap each other in their use, even. But we'll look at that brief. We'll look at that this evening. But as I think of it, as I thought of it, David must have thought his rod and staff, and he says that's what comforted him. In all of his, as he's looking back in all the times as he was a shepherd, it was that rod and staff, and he had to think, how did I use that rod when I took care of those sheep? How did I use that staff? And maybe it was both the same, but what was the overall of it? And when I could see, he says, that was to comfort the sheep. And as he realized and caused him ourselves his saints sheep, he realizes that that same rod and that staff, it's God who comforts him. And he uses something, an extension of his person to comfort us. The extension of his right hand. And he gives us truth. You see, the rod speaks of protection. And the staff is for the prodding necessary to keep the flock together and on the right path. That's what comforts him. David said, that comforts me. Thy rod and thy staff. Notice it says they comfort you or they comfort me. So David is really thinking and, I'm going to say, having a mental conversation with God. As he writes this, under inspiration of Scripture, the Spirit of God manifests in his life what to write. And he says, thy rod and thy staff, this is a comfort for me. What is my answer? He says, I look back on my life and when I was shepherding and when I was ruling and now towards the end of my life, what is it that comforts me? And he all paralleled it with the rod and the staff and how he took care of the sheep and how it helped the sheep. And so he had to parallel it with God. So what was he thinking? The rod was used for different perspectives. A staff used for walking, and the crook or whatever was used for guiding also the sheep. They were used to guard the flock and also drive off enemies. With the staff, the shepherd rules and guides the flock to their green pastures and defends them for their enemies. With it, also he corrects them when they're disobedient and brings them back from their wandering. He would use the staff or the rod, and he would use it for, as they were going to prod them or say, you're getting out of line, don't go over there, that's trouble. Or he finds the trouble and he brings them back. And what is the one picture we do see in the New Testament? We see the 99 and the one, and what do we see? The shepherd coming back with what? Sheep over his shoulder, take care of it. He wandered off. And so we realize that in every situation, as Keller said in his book, in every situation, under every circumstance, there is comfort in the knowledge that God's word can be met or can meet the mass and master the difficulty if we rely on it. We all have different problems and troubles in life. We are constantly thinking and our minds are thinking about things. And in every situation, under every circumstance, we know that the knowledge of God and his word, as we rely on it, will master the difficulty of it. I'm narrow-minded enough that I believe God's word has an answer for everything. And it can comfort us. But what just reading it doesn't comfort us. one of the things that I said to Nick, as I've been trying to give him a book to read and do and fill out, I says, don't fill it out like a class session. What you need to do is read it, think about it, and fill it out what it says from your heart. We can do a lot of reading and say, see, Lord, you didn't come for me there. Boy, our heart's really prepared for that, isn't it? We can read, but it comes down, we can read from the head very easily, but we need to read from the heart. And David is saying here that his rod and his staff, they comfort me. The rod is an extension of the owner's right arm. An example would be that demonstration of the power of Moses. Remember Moses had the staff or the rod? What did he do when he met Pharaoh? Threw it down there, became a snake. And the devil is very powerful. And so he had his demons and they throw it down. And other snakes came. But then what did we see happen? Moses' rod what? Ate all the others. Isn't that a wonderful picture of the rod? Isn't that comforting? No matter what's happening around you in the circumstances, it's going to eat them all up. And then when you grab it, it's his rod. You see, since the scriptures are his rod, they are the extension of his mind and will and intentions. And we know scripture tells us that he wants to please us. So the rod also was used by the shepherd for a welfare of his sheep. Also that of their discipline. Think of it. The rod is also used in the Old Testament. What does it say? Think of the rod in raising children. It says, spare the rod and what? Spoil the child. What's the idea? It's the Spirit of the living God using the living word that convicts our conscience of right conduct. And so as of raising our children, that rod is a comfort. It's a comfort. Now, as children, you don't really realize it at that time. But boy, I'm sure you're sitting there looking back all the times. What a comfort. Where would I be without that rod and that staff? Well, our Savior, I really believe sometimes that we think that God and our Savior is just you got to do this, got to do this, you don't, I'm going to smack your hand. You know, do you realize he wants nothing but good for you? And did you know it's possible for you and I to do good? We're not doing bad all the time. We're sinners. But the Spirit of God, it's to do good. And we can praise the Lord. And when that happens, who do we reflect the praise to? Well, every good gift and every perfect gift cometh from above, from the Father of lights, who there is no variableness nor shadow of turning. And so the rod was used in the shepherd's hand to examine and even count the sheep sometimes. The staff symbolized, of course, by the rod or the staff, a shepherd carried a rod to club down wild animals, a staff to keep the sheep under control. The rod and the staff represent God's constant vigilance over his own and bring comfort because of his personal presence and involvement with the sheep. You see, the staff identifies the shepherd as a shepherd. It's used for care and the management of the sheep, as Keller says. He goes on and says, it is a symbol of concern and speaks of all that is long-suffering and kind. It's symbolic of the Spirit of God. There are three areas of sheep management in which the staff plays the most significant role. Number one, it draws the sheep together in an intimate relationship. It is used to reach out and catch individual sheep. And it is also used for guiding the sheep. You see, only the use of the staff can free sheep from their entanglements. Did you know the Lord can free you from those entanglements? He says, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The manifestation of that protection is the mere presence of the rod and staff was enough to bring comfort. It identified him. When we think of a staff, we always think of a what? A shepherd as a believer. We always do. The only thing close to that that I think of it as I'm thinking now, think of a shepherd. But the only other one is, of course, being brought up and in a camp situation. And I loved the water. And I would, you know, when you're little growing up, you're not a staff member until you get old and you can do things. And so what are you doing all the time? You're playing around. I lived in the water. I lived in the water at the camp. And one of the things that they had there was for the lifeguard and the WSI, they had a staff, a hook, a long staff with a hook on it, as we would think a staff for a shepherd. Some would think it's just a straight rod, but the shepherd. And what they would use that hook for was if someone was in the water to go and pull them in from dangerous waters. That's what our Savior does. He'll remind you. Now, didn't you have that? Haven't you had that problem before? Then stay away from that. And by him reminding us of that, you know what he's doing? There it is. There's the staff. And what he's doing, an extension of his arm, what he's doing is he's pulling us away. Now, don't struggle and get away from that hook, because you'll just go back out into those waters. But that's one of the ways the Lord is saying, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Because then when you bring it in, say, oh yeah, thank you for reminding me that, Lord. And guess what it just kept you from doing? Number one, sinning for a holy God. Number two, getting in more problems. And number three, even not only your relationship with God, but possibly hurting with late relationships around you. How about, is rod and staff comfort? We think of his word and what he's trying to do in his Spirit of God. How about when someone says something and we want to say something with our mouths and the Lord stops us? He reminds us, you ought not say that. Or that you're talking about something or different things, and then you start having that temptation to gossip maybe? Slander? And the Lord says, no, don't. This is going to hurt relationships. And you stop, because all of our natures are like that. And you stop. You know what he's doing? He's taking the hook, getting you out of the dangerous waters. He's comforting you. Listen to what Scripture says in Psalm 119. This is my comfort in my affliction. For thy word has quickened me, has made me alive. The proud have had me greatly in derision, yet have I not declined from thy law. Remembered thy judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself. Let, I pray thee, thy merciful kindness be for my comfort, according to thy word unto thy servant. My soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word. Mine eyes fail for thy word, saying, when wilt thou comfort me? For I'm become a little like a bottle in a smoke, yet I don't forget your statutes. There's going to be smoke along the way, but I don't forget thy statutes. You see, the sight of the rod and the staff comforts. They show that the shepherd is there. As significant of his presence and his office, they impart confidence, showing that he will not leave me alone and he will defend me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. What comforts you? If it's not his rod and his staff, there needs to be more attention to that rod and that staff. There needs more mental conversation about that. Because David went through a lot of bad decisions he made in his life. But he says, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. I remember when I would comfort the sheep, and they'd settle down because I'd gather them all around in that wonderful relationship, and they'd to each other. Keep them in the pen or around there and keep the door there, and they'd graze in that area. They'd be beside still waters. And they'd be in the green pastures. And they looked up and saw David there with his rod and his staff. And sometimes some of them, maybe one that needed a few more lessons, would realize that, oh, that staff or that rod, I don't want that rod, so I think I'll just stay in line here. Because I know if I go out there, oh, that rod's going to be better than what happens when I go out there. Because the Lord says, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. So we see here God's benevolence, his unique benevolence, one of a kind, his position as shepherd, his plan to make me lie down in green pastures, to lead me beside still waters, to restore my soul, to lead me and guide me in the paths of righteousness. And we see his presence where he says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Not only his presence, but his protection. And so we come to verse 5, and we see God's unexpected banquet. Think of this. We come to verse 5, and look what the Lord says. Right after the comfort, the staff and the rod comfort me, he says, now, here's David thinking, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. So we see, first of all, his provision of a prepared table. A provision of a prepared table. And then the last part of verse 5, we see his prosperity seen by his graciousness and his lavishness. One commentator put it, said this, the Lord is the host of a banquet prepared for his child. The table is laden with food and drink. Before entering into the banquet hall, the host would anoint the honored guest with oil. And the oil was made by adding perfumes to the olive oil. And the cup symbolized the gracious and beneficent manner of the entertainment. The overflowing pictures the Lord as giving the best to his child. It symbolizes the care and provisions of God, previously presented by green pastures and quiet waters. Moreover, the Lord vindicates his servant in the presence of his enemies, expressing both the adversities of life itself as well as God's demonstration of his love towards his own. You see, he says, thou preparest a table before me. So let's just try to get some of those words, first of all, define the words, and then bring the phrase together. The word prepare there is a verb meaning to arrange, to set in order, to prepare. It's used many different times in Scripture, when getting ready for battle, same words used, preparing for battle. But this word here is used to describe what has been prepared by God. Notice, David says here, thou preparest. Notice he says, thou preparest a table before me. God is the one that has ordered and arranged and set in order, prepared this very table that he's talking about. What is the table? Well, when we think of a table, really it is what it means. It's a place of eating. Talking about physical table. It frequently in Scripture describes the table spread with food. It also used to evoke the picture of a fellowship shared by people sitting around a table. And the word is used also to describe the altar of sacrifice. And notice he says, and we'll try to put this all together in just a moment, but it says, God is the one that's arranging, set in order, preparing this table, the blessings, the relationships. He's the one preparing, and he set this table, all of this before me. David is saying, all these things are before me. Think of that. Believer, the Lord is promising to you and to me right now, God's prepared a table before you. You alone, as his saint. God is the one preparing. God is the one that has set in order this table and whatever's on that table. Some don't like seafood, so I'm going to guess the Lord probably might not put seafood on your table unless he wants to teach you a lesson. But put a lot of tartar sauce on it, maybe. I don't know. But God's the one that prepares the table, and he does it before me. He puts it right there because he now, in the context of the whole thing, he looks and we see, he says it's in the presence of mine enemies. That presence means in front of. And enemies means a bind up or tie, or it might even refer to strong emotional response that you're experiencing. It has been used through different parts of Scripture as a verb meaning to buy up, to tie up, to be distressed, to be troubled, to be oppressed. So he says, we put all that together. He says, thou preparest a table. Here's a banquet, an unexpected banquet. In the middle of my distress, in the middle of my troubles, my enemies, in the middle of all that, there's an unexpected banquet. He's prepared this great feast for me to eat out of. God, in all of his greatness and his guidance, and we see that he's the one. The psalmist rejoiced in the Lord's provision. What was comforting to David was that it was in the presence of his enemies, despite impending danger, the Lord spread out a table for him, and it's one that God provided for him. You see, this unexpected place arranged the banquet spread is in the presence of the enemies, manifesting God's presence and power and provision in the middle of all of our enemies. We often find ourselves, as one writer said, and this was Davis in the book that I've mentioned to you about, we often find ourselves in loneliness of situations, surrounded by pressure and trouble. There's often the temptation to give up and abandon the ministry. I might say, how true. Even when things are going well, you think, but I'm just not hitting it. Often the temptation to give up and abandon the ministry. This psalm should be a means of encouragement in such circumstances. For the Lord not only can provide strength in the most complex of life situation, but he desires to do so. Paul was a wonderful example when he says in 2 Corinthians 4, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. The Lord desires to prepare a table for us, even in the midst of the most distressing circumstances in life. You see, our responsibility is to avail ourselves of this opportunity. For by it, these means the Lord's rich provisions we enjoy. And so we see that God has prepared a table right before us in the midst of our trials, in the midst of our troubles. He's got a steak dinner for you. Maybe that's not one of your favorites, but put whatever it is in there. That's what he's got for you. In the midst of it. In the midst of it. David looked upon his whole life, and he had to run in his kingdom because his son took over. He was maligned. He had another king that he knew. David himself knew he was going to be the next king, and the king before him was throwing spears at him. And he said, thou anointest, he says, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of Saul, in the presence of the Philistines, in the presence of my family, of Absalom. Thou preparest a table before me. When we don't see the table, we're not looking for it. We're letting entitlement overrule looking for that unexpected banquet that he gives to us. Just recently, in something I think I mentioned to you before, I've been praying for a long time about something. The Lord just hasn't, and I haven't moved, just waiting for him to direct me in some way. And God just directed, I believe, just gave me, he showed me exactly what he wanted. He'll prepare a table for you. We got to look for it. Got to pray. Let God. Don't be impatient. He prepared his table before us in his very presence. And then we see he goes and says, thou anointest my head with oil. His unexpected banquet in the presence of my enemies, all my troubles, he's got this feast for me. Sometimes that feast is things that we learn from those circumstances that keeps us from other circumstances, but we learn from that and we grow from that. That's the feast. And then he says, not only, but he then says that he prepares a banquet and he anoints my head with oil. My cup then runs over. Thou prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemy. You have anointed my head with oil. How can I but help my cup being full and running over? Fill my cup, Lord. Fill my cup. And he goes and he's so gracious. This anoint has the idea also of satisfaction. He anointed his head with oil, which is something that a gracious host would welcome someone into his home. That gracious oil, he's welcome. He anoints my head. He likes me. He loves me. He's anointed my head with oil. There'll be times I'll just sit over next to Brenda. I said, I really like you. She'll look and say, I like you too. Anointed my head with oil. That gracious guest and that host says, welcome to my home. He cares about you. He's welcoming you home. It's a sign of joy. In fact, it is God that anoints our head with oil, and he provides something far better, the requirements, than a gracious host. You know what that is? One of the things that it is? It's a five-letter word. It's called grace. He anoints my head with oil, and my cup runs over. It's God anoints our head, and he provides something far beyond the requirements of that host. It's this grace which the Christian life is filled with blessings, which comes as a result of God's mega grace. You see, oil in the Bible is used many different ways, wide range of figurative meanings. It's used of food, of feasts, oil used for that food in cooking. It was used to anoint holy objects and kings in Exodus and 1 Samuel. It's used as anointment to soothe and cleanse, leading to healing. Figuratively, the word can be used to signify strength, fruitfulness, richness, fertility. In fact, when it came to the sheep would have flies or pests or scabs on them. A scab, it was an irritating, highly contagious disease common among sheep the world over. And these scabs and pass would bother the sheep. So the shepherd would come to the and apply oil on the sheep's head, and there would be an immediate change in behavior. There'd be immediate transformation on the sheep. These sores wouldn't, and he'd put it on the head all the way through, and the sheep's attitudes would continue, just completely change. And we see so often it's the small, petty annoyances that ruin our attitude. But oh, to have the oil of God's Spirit to apply to our mind. It's a process that needs to continue, that he will continue to repeat it. And then notice the last phrase, my cup runneth over. Figuratively, that cup is the Lord's right hand. It could be the cup of judgment in Habakkuk. It's a cup of salvation in Psalm 116, 13. It's a cup of drunkenness or anger. It's a cup full of judgments. But because of God's forgiveness through Christ, the cup offered to us may be one filled with rich blessings. For we notice, my head, he anointeth my head with oil. And since he anoints my head with oil, my cup runs over. God is the one who has all knowledge and wisdom and understanding of my affairs and management. If he is able to cope with every situation, good or bad, that I encounter, then surely I should be satisfied with his care. In a wonderful way, my cup, or my lot in life, is a happy one that overflows with benefits of all sorts. The cup of our life is full and overflowing with good, with the life of Christ himself, and with the presence of his gracious Spirit. Thus we should be joyous, grateful, and peaceful, because he's given us an unexpected banquet where he prepares a table before us in the very presence of our troubles. And he goes a step further. He anoints our head with oil. So that our cup overflows. So let me ask you a question tonight.